Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Today I would like to share about the lifestyle of giving to the Lord, talking about giving. And we should develop a lifestyle of giving. Giving is not something only one time, or talk about it or practice it only in a special occasion, but it should be a lifestyle of every believer. Why don't we pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we believe that your word can cleanse our heart and our mind, can renew our thought, Lord. We want to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Son was a giver. He gave his time, his future. He left the business of carpentry into the ministry, and he gave his life to serve the Father for 3 years, Lord, and he died on the cross. Lord, we want to have the same lifestyle of giving like him. Therefore, please, Lord, teach us and speak into our heart. May your Holy Spirit really use this word to change us and to make us become a new person. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 When I was growing up as a non-believer in Thailand, I remember very well that I was very selfish and very greedy and very self-centered. I remember that I rarely let anybody borrow my stuff, like my camera or whatever that I have. I really was very, very stingy and very selfish person. But thank God that he came into my life and he began to change me year by year, little by little. And he has been teaching me and Pastor Da to be givers. You cannot be both givers and takers at the same time. People have to choose whether you become a giver or a taker, a sower or a sucker. You know, either you sow or you suck. You take advantage of people. But the Bible, the Word of God, clearly say that we should be giver, not taker. God really showed me example, God really give me tremendous experience about the area of giving. When I was a new believer, one time in the Baptist church that I and Pastor Da were attending, the church did not have fences, and people came in to steal the stuff from the church building. So they were raising funds, but the church was small, only maybe 30 members. We didn't have much money. I and Pastor Da at that time decided we're going to close the bank account and give the whole bank account to the church, and we did. We gave money. No, nothing left in the bank. But praise God, a few weeks later, after we gave so many weeks, because of the miraculous power of God, my patient will come into my office and give me big bags of fruit and food and shrimps and fish fresh from the sea for many, many days, that Pastor Da did not have to go to the marketplace to buy any food. And then out of the blue, a few weeks later, a father of my patient came into my house and gave me a basket full of fruit and canned food. And he left. He said, "I want to thank you for saving my daughter's life." When we took out all the stuff from the basket, we found an envelope, and then that envelope have a cashier check, exactly the same amount that I gave to God, to the church, for the project of building fences. So at that time, I learned right away that I never outgive God. Never outgive God. Since that time, we decided to tithe, to give 10%. After we began to give 10% while we were in Thailand as a young doctor, God began to bless my practice so much to the point that my clinic was the busiest clinic. I have to get another 5 doctors to come in to help me. We start with only a couple and then I have to get more people to come to help because the clinic was so packed with people. My income went up many times. We have leftover money. We start to save and prepare for the future. It's amazing, you know, in only a few years, I saved so much money because I kept giving tithe to the Lord, giving 10% to the Lord. And when we came to the U.S., we began to started the church, and God began to teach us to go deeper in the area of giving. Since 1987, after we have been touched by the fire of revival, we began to give even more than before. We began to make a decision to be generous and give to different ministry, to people in the church. And it has been proven in our own life that God never forsake us. God has been blessing us financially. I'm not saying that I'm very rich or like a billionaire like Bill Gates, but I know I have more than enough. My work situation has been very steady and very protected by God. All this time, God really blessed us financially, blessed us spiritually, health. We are unusually healthy. I mean, I have to admit I get sick off and on, but we get healed very fast. We don't need to live in sickness for all the time. You know, our kids are getting better all the time. I can see the blessing of giving. So I begin to understand now that God, in fact, wants to change every aspect of our life. He wants to change the aspect of how we speak, how we handle relationship. And definitely one area that God wants us to change is the area of money. He wants us to become more like Him, because He is generous and He is a giver. So He wants to teach us and deal with us and change us from glory to glory, from being taker into a giver. God wants to change our attitude regarding the money. I believe that you agree with me that money is a big issue in everyone's heart. You agree? Our heart is really tied with money, big time. Because we know that, number one, we spend all the time and energy to earn it. You go to work 8 hours, 10 hours a week, a day, 40, some people work 80 hours a week, whatever, you know. You know that those hours that you spend and invest, you get back is the paycheck, the money. And not only that, you know that, not only you know that you invest your time and energy to exchange into money, but you also realize that that money can buy many things. Can exchange for vacation, for nice car, nice house, whatever, food, clothes. Therefore, it's pretty natural and normal for a human being to be attached to money. And money actually almost can say like this, I can say like this, it represents your life. And many times, we as human beings measure the worthiness or the value of each other by looking how much money we have. Is that right? In society, they have a special prestige club that no one else can join in. Only people with certain amount of money can be in that club. They measure the value of people by looking at how much money they make and how much money they have in the bank account. Therefore, our heart normally is totally attached to money. And one thing that God wants us to give to Him is our heart. If God can get our heart, if God can have our heart in His hand, He will have our whole life. And because He knows that our heart is so attached to money, instead of asking you to just giving your heart, He asks you, can you give money to me? Because when you learn and discipline yourself to let go of money, then you can learn how to let go of your heart into the hand of God. And the Lord knows that giving is a channel of bringing more blessing to our life. That is a principle of God, which is opposite to the thinking of the world. The world say that if you want to be rich, you need to take, you need to steal, you need to take advantage, you need to keep, save. You don't want to give to anyone. But God's principle is to give. And I want to ask you right now to look at the nature around us. If you look at the nature, the sun, the moon, the stars, the air, the clouds, the earth, the sea, the trees, the flowers, the plants, everything that you see around us here. Who created those? God. God created the nature. God created flowers and plants and trees and animals. And if you look at those things carefully, you can see that God is the giver. He gave the sun, He gave the moon, He gave the stars, He gave the air, He gave the clouds, He gave the trees, the seed, the flowers, and everything for us to enjoy. Is that right? So actually, when you look at the nature, you can see that God is a giver. He gave those things for us to enjoy and to be able to survive on earth here. So all the natural resources are living sign of God's abundant gift and generosity to mankind. Is that right? Think about it. God gave us the sunshine. He's so generous. He did not hold back anything. He gave to us all these things so that we can enjoy our life on earth here. And most importantly, God gave the most precious thing in His life, in His kingdom, that is His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the giver. He gave His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay for the penalty of our sin. Therefore, after we understand this truth, we learn that giving is essential for abundant living. Have you ever heard of the place called Dead Sea? Dead Sea. Why it was called Dead Sea? Because fish cannot survive there. No living thing can survive in that Dead Sea. Why it is a Dead Sea? Because the water came out from the mountain and went into that sea, but there is no way out. There's no way out from that sea into the sea, into the real sea. So the water only came in, but the water did not go out. What happened to that sea is dead. The same thing with our life. If we just only receive, but we never give, we will never produce fruit and we will be dead. If we want to have life, we need to learn to give, how to give. Amen. So that's why it's good that we volunteer our time to give to the church. It's good that we give money to certain ministries, certain ministers. It's good to use our anointing to serve. You know, like for example, you are good in the area of administration. Maybe it's good that you can use your give your administrative skill to help your care group. Maybe you're so good in the area of writing, then you can use that that writing skill to help the church to write certain issue to put in the website. Like today, actually, I emailed a brother in the church and asked him to help Pastor Da to write the description of her ministry to put in a website, because I'm not as good writer as he is. So I asked him to give up his time to the church. It's giving. Giving will not only benefit the receiver, but giving is a channel for the blessing to the giver. Look at, can you open the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 38? Luke chapter 6. Verse 38. What the Bible tried to tell us here about giving.
Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
The Bible command us to give. And then it says, if you give, it will be given to you. The measure that you use, it will be measured to you. In other words, God will treat you the same measure you treat others. The more you give, the more He's going to give to you. If the more generous you are, God gonna bring people who are generous to bless you. You see, so that's why we need to make decision to treat other people well and give to other people. Give words of encouragement to people. Give love to people. Give money to people. Give your time to people. Give advice to people. And then God will give you back, the Bible says, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. God gonna give you to the point that it will be running over. I heard the comment of Pastor John Osteen from Brother Mike Francine. Pastor John Osteen paid off his building $6 million many years ago. And the evangelist Mike Francine asked him, how come God bless you so much financially? Pastor John Osteen said that, because I believe that I don't need to live by scratching from the bottom of the barrel. I believe that God can give me abundantly more than enough, and I can live on the abundance. And in order to get there, we need to be generous people. You see, running over mean what? Leftover, is that right? Pour into your lap. So, even though God's love and forgiveness is unconditional, but the blessing of God is conditional. Amen? Okay, let me repeat one more time. This is interesting concept and truth that you need to know. Even though God's love and forgiveness is unconditional, but the blessing according to the promises of God is conditional. What does it mean? It means that if you want the blessing of the promise of God, like prosperity or good health, anything that God promised you, you need to fulfill the condition. Even though your sin have been forgiven, He forgives your sin, but in order to get the promise of God be fulfilled, you need to follow His condition. And one of the conditions is that faith. You need to have faith in that promise. And a lot of people misunderstand about faith, that faith is just only the condition of the heart. Oh, I believe. Yes, I believe. No, no, no. Faith actually take action. Faith is about action. Like Peter, you remember when Jesus said, "Come to me," when he was walking on the water. Actually, he did not invite only Peter. He invited everyone to come on out of the boat and walk to him. But only Peter took action to walk on the water. You see, faith must come with action. So the same thing, if I say I have faith that God will give me, provide me, and God say give, and you don't give, you don't really have faith, because you don't take action with that command of God or the promise of God. God put this condition that give and will be given to you. So in other words, you and I can determine the amount of blessing that we can receive from God and His provision. We are the one who dictate that. You understand what I try to say? It's our choice each day. If we obey God, we walk by faith, we take action of faith, we are a candidate of God's blessing. Mm-hmm. But if we always rebel, doubt, and never take action of what the Bible say, and we still stay poor, lacking, then we cannot blame God. Because we are the one who make that choice. So I want to encourage you to really make that choice every single day to follow the Word of God, to take action and practice what the Word of God say. And then the promise that attached to that action will come. The promise, the blessing that attached to the promise of that command of God will come. You see what I mean? So, giving is one of the command. And if you do it, God will bless you. God will definitely expand you. In fact, I would like to challenge the business men and women in the church to have a bigger vision that God will bless them to have millions of dollars. Not just that they will enjoy having jewelry or nice car, but so that they can give that money for the sake of the gospel. Can you imagine that if we have millionaires in our church and they say, okay, you need a building, we're going to pay off. We go buy that building, we pay that building off. We don't need to borrow money from the bank. Can you imagine? It would be pretty good. You know, if I'm not a pastor and I'm a businessman, I like to be that person. I want to be a businessman that God bless my hand so much with money that I can just give to the church. Okay, we're going to buy $2 million building. Okay, I pay $1 million. Something like that. It would be a blessing. And I believe that $1 million goes out from my hand. It will come back again. God is going to bless me more and more. Amen. And I think that's the reason why God blessed the gentleman that came to our church yesterday who has so much affluence in his life, because he's such a generous man for the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen. So, giving is a command. Giving will bring the blessing because we take action of faith. And not only that, giving will really open our heart to love God, because our heart and money connected to each other. When we give money, our heart will go with money. The more we give, the more we will love God. Amen. That's why we want to give to evangelists, because I want to love soul. When I give money to support saving soul, God gonna enlarge my heart to love more souls. and I want to see more souls saved in our church. Amen. It's because our money attached to our heart. Do you agree with me that God is in control? And everything that happens in our life is under the control of God. Many things that happen in the physical realm, how your business run, the customer call you, what happened into my health, what happened to my family, all these things around me and in my life are influenced or are impacted by the things that happen in the spiritual realm. This is the truth. You see what I mean? There are two worlds. The physical world that we can see, we can smell, we can hear now. But there is also another world called spiritual realm or spiritual world. What happened in the spiritual realm will impact the physical realm, the physical world. And God is in that spiritual realm. When you give to God and obey God in the area of giving, you definitely will move the hand of God in the spiritual realm to give you the favor, life, multiplication, prosperity, success, good health. You take action on the physical level here by giving to God or giving to wherever God tells you to do. Maybe God tell you to bless another person in the church. You just write a check and give because God told you. You take that action. It will please God. And God will trust you. And in the spiritual kingdom, He will move His hand, ask His angel to do things for you, and will definitely impact your physical life on earth here. You're going to have a breakthrough in your life. You will flourish and flow and rise up and be blessed by God. You see what I mean? So don't just see the check that you write and give to God or give to the church and just see that money goes away. No, every time you give that money, you give to the hand of God, and God in heaven will say, okay, I will do something for you. I will favor you. I'm going to do something for you. Because you obey me and you love my kingdom, you give your heart to me. Amen. So, it's so important to understand this truth in order to be a cheerful giver. We were born into the world without anything, and we will leave this world without anything. Baby came into the mother's womb without anything. And every man and woman who died will leave this world with nothing. You cannot even take clothes or money with you. Therefore, we need to understand that we are a steward of God. What does it mean, steward? Steward means somebody who manages, administers, and takes care of a property belonging to somebody else. Everything in the world belongs to God. So Christians, like you and me, are entrusted with the Lord's property. The clothes that you and I are wearing belongs to God. The car that we use belongs to God. We didn't have it before. God gave to us by His grace. So if every Christian can come to this realization that everything that we have belongs to God, but God has entrusted those things into our hand to enjoy life and to use them for the sake of the kingdom of God, then our life will never be the same. We need to be good stewards in everything the Lord entrusts to us. Time, money, spiritual gifts, talents, possession, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you I will end here and continue next time regarding lifestyle of giving. I want to encourage you to do your best in your life, to use your time for the kingdom of God. Use your talent, your ability, your education, your money, your gifts to build the kingdom of God. And don't let little things that happen in the church, don't let any weakness of people around you to stop you and bother you from using your time and gift and talents for the kingdom of God. You know, we are living in imperfect world, and the church is imperfect right now. So definitely you're gonna see some disappointment in the church, or see some people make mistake, or they may say wrong thing, or they may make mistake in front of you. But those things should not stop you from being a good steward, to use your time, money, talents, gifts, everything that God has given you for the sake of the kingdom, for the gospel, for souls, build the church, build the kingdom of God. I make that decision long time ago that I will not let any man, any woman, demon, anything, any circumstance in my life, any disappointments, any setbacks, any hurt or broken relationship stop me from living my life, giving my life, my whole life, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I make a decision sometime to ignore those things and move on with my life. The devil is very cunning. He will try to stop you and me by allowing many things to come on the way. And our eyes, instead of focusing on Jesus, giving our life to Jesus, we began to look at those things and get distracted. So just focus on Jesus, focus on His gospel and His heart, His heartbeat, and just live our life fully for the kingdom, giving your life fully to the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you so much, Lord, that you gave your Son to be an example to us as a cheerful giver. Father, help all of us not to be distracted, not to let any weakness of any person in the world, the disappointments and setbacks in our life, or any mistake that people make, even leadership make, stop us from giving our time and talents and gifts and everything that you have given us to you to build your kingdom, Father. We bless you, Lord. We love you. And we want to live our life to glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next time regarding lifestyle of giving to the Lord. Welcome to the family of God again. I'm so happy to come back to meet you in this teaching CD, and I'm so excited to be able to be a vessel to bring the Word of God to encourage all of you. And my purpose is to help you to have faith in what you learn. It's not just to have a head knowledge, but to really believe that what God says in the Bible really works and really brings blessings to your life. It brings health, also strength, prosperity, victory, and anything that you need to do good works. So important to really know the Word of God. And again, I come back in this session in the topic of lifestyle of giving. I believe that you have already listened to the first part of this lesson in this CD. Now we're going to go to another part, and I would like to talk about the principle of sowing and reaping. Why don't we pray together? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we commit this time to you. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will help our mind to be in the captivity to the obedience of Christ, that our mind will be renewed, and Lord, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, will speak into our heart, will reveal the truth into our spirit. Father, we want to please you, and we want to obey you. We want to honor you all the days of our life. We thank you so much, Lord, that you have sent somebody to speak to us the gospel. And also we thank you for the Holy Spirit who convicts us and who speaks to us every single day to help us to understand more of the principle of the kingdom of God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will bless my brothers and sisters who listen to this CD. Lord, may their life be in abundance. May they be the blessing to the nations, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 If you look in the natural, you can see that God has put natural laws or principle around you. And the law is there. If you follow the law, then you will be protected and saved. I give you example, the law of gravity. If you understand the law of gravity, you know that every time you jump out of the building, you're going to be on the ground very fast. So if you understand that law, you need to protect yourself by not jumping out of the building or out of the bridge or try to jump from the high place, because you are not able to fly in the air. The law of gravity still works for thousands of years. Is that right? So there are many laws. You know, when you put ice in the refrigerator, when you put the temperature down, the water, when the water goes into the refrigerator and you get the temperature down, the water will become ice, another form of water. That is the natural law. There is a natural law, one natural law that is connected to the spiritual law at the same time, and that is the law of sowing and reaping, or the principle of sowing and reaping. No wise farmer will sit around doing nothing and looking at the seeds in his barn each year and just sit there and expect that something going to happen in their field. The farmer knows that he must sow the seed into the field, plow the ground, and put the water and fertilizer. He knows that when he sow the seed, at due time, he will reap the harvest. It's a principle of sowing and harvesting or reaping. The same thing in the kingdom of God. The Bible says clearly that you will reap what you sow. If you sow love, you reap love. Like I just listened to the testimony of a sister here in this room about you sowing love to your mother-in-law. And you begin to see the reaping of love in her life and believe that she will become a Christian soon. So you need to keep sowing that love into her. This principle applies to everything. If you sow kindness, you will reap kindness. If you sow gentleness, you reap gentleness. The principle always works in every situation. But because this lesson we talk about lifestyle of giving, definitely we talk about giving finances. But in fact, giving is not about only finances. You give your life to serve people. You give your time. I tell you one thing. What today, while I was driving here to this room, to this meeting, God spoke to me like this. He said that if every Christian can come to this point of their life, that there will be a giver in any circumstance instead of being a taker or consumer. Not only that, they will definitely become more mature to become adult and not be baby anymore, but there will be a person that will bring so much blessing to a lot of people. That's why Jesus said in Acts chapter 2, chapter 20, verse 35, Paul said like this, "The Lord said that it is more blessed to give than to receive." Do you notice one thing? All of you in this room, you have kids. And your kids may be ranging from like 8 years old, 9 years old, and to 13, 14 years old. If you notice about kids or children, they tend to come and say, "Mom and Dad, what do you have for me to eat today? Can I have your money? Can I have your credit card? Can I have a car? Can I have? So the nature of kids is to ask for something. But God wants us to go beyond that. Instead of being a kid, we should grow up into maturity to become a mom and dad, an adult, a bigger brother, a bigger sister in the body of Christ or in the church. That as a bigger brother, a bigger sister, or a mom and dad in the spirit, wherever you go, you the first thing you say like this, "I'm going to go there to give, to bless people. If they don't give me, that's okay. But I'm going to go and give to them my word of testimony, my life, my presence, my the anointing that God have given me, my money, my time, my talents, everything." So I want to encourage you, every time you go to church, every time you go to care group, every time you go to any function, or even go to work in the secular job, think this way: I'm going to go there to bless somebody. I'm going to go to care group. I don't worry right now that anybody there going to bless me or give to me. I'm going to be a grown-up man, a grown-up woman, that I'm going to go there, not in a prideful way, not in the arrogant way, but you say, "God, use me to be a blessing to people there." And I can guarantee the blessing will come back to you anyway. It's a law that God said, if you sow, you give, you contribute, then it will come back to you. So as a mentor, I want to encourage you who listen to this CD, that I know you just accepted Christ not a long time ago, because this CD series is for our young believers in the church. But set the goal to grow up, to become a mature man and woman in Christ. Don't stay baby forever. And learn the principle that when you give your time, your energy, you remember this, when you give to God and to God's people. You remember one time when Paul was on the road to Damascus, Jesus spoke to Paul, "Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Actually, Saul never persecuted Jesus. He persecuted the saints, the believer. So when you do good and give to the saints or to the believers, in fact, you are doing good to Jesus. You see? So I want to really help you to understand that be a giver, not be a taker. Be a contributor. Give, and it will be given back to you. God, you invest in the kingdom of God. You put whatever your energy, your time, your money in the kingdom of God, which means to other people, God going to give back to you. It will happen because it's a sure law of God. Sowing and reaping. If you can help me, you can open the Bible in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, verse 38. That scripture describes the principle of sowing and reaping. Luke 6:38. Can you read that for me?
Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Amen. The Bible says clearly that give and it will be given to you. If you sow, you will reap. I want to encourage you to let you know that your God never wastes His seeds. The seeds that you sow into His hand, He never wastes one of them. He will multiply them and He will give it back to you. He is the God that gives you the best possible return of what you invest. You know, sometimes you put money in the bank, you ask the banker how much interest you get. If you invest in the bond, you know, I save some of my money in the, we call bond, the tax-free bond, because my tax is so high, so I don't want to pay tax. So I always ask the financial planner, how many percent interest do I get? Normally about 3%, 4% short term, long term maybe 4.5%, very little return. But I want to tell you, God give you better return than that bond. Amen. He will give you better than, I believe that better than stock market. Amen. Everything that you sow will come back. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. Give the same principle about sowing and reaping.
For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it.
This scripture is very profound. There are many, many meanings in it. One of the meanings is that if somebody gonna kill you because you believe in Jesus, you're gonna have life in eternal life in heaven. In other words, you don't lose it. Another meaning is that if you give up your life, you lose it. You lose your life, which means you lose your dream. You want to become a very successful computer man in Seattle for a big company. But God one day come and call you, son, go to Taiwan to be a pastor. Help that nation. And you say, God, but my dream, I want to be a rich man in Sammamish area. I want to have a big house. But God say, I want to use you. And you say, yes, Lord, I lose my dream.
Amen.
Whoever loses his dream, his life, will find it. When you become a pastor, what happened? God will give you back even better than what you try to do it yourself. Is that right? Another application I can say here. You may say like this, wow, today, Thursday, I really don't want to miss the football game here in my house. I want to watch the football game. I have a good TV program. To go to care group is a big sacrifice for me. And not only that, sometimes when I go to care group, their worship is not very good. Not tonight. Tonight the worship is very anointed. I just want to say that. And this is not a sweet word.
Some other care group.
But tonight the care group is the worship is very anointed. I was crying. You notice that I pulled out my napkin and crying, and God touched me. So, but sometimes you have all kind of reason to say, I don't want to go to care group. Oh, their sharing is boring, their worship, they sing out of key, the room is too hot, kids run around, the teaching is not very anointed, you know, I can just read the book myself at home. But God said, if you lose your life, if you give up that personal time and go there to give your presence, to give your love, to give your smile, to just go and, hi, how are you? I'm so glad to see you. I'm here not because you need to have a perfect program. I'm here just to be here to let you know that I loved you. I value my time to spend with you. And God said, if you lose that, you will find life. He will pay you back what you give to Him. You see, this scripture means so many things. And you grab it. You grab a hold of this principle that everywhere you go, you do everything you do, you are a giver. I'm so glad that God really, really convicts me many days ago that son, to the mission, just give CD to the nations. Give them free. Don't sell to them. Give the word of God out. Give. Don't try to say, oh, if you want to buy my series here, $25. No, no, give to them. I'm talking about outside in the mission field, Thailand, Japan, whatever. You know, I mean, people in our own church, we try to support the ministry by buying it to support so that we will not burn the money out. But we want to give, and I can see the blessing already now that those CDs really go out. I mean, every time I read the email about how many people blessed by our CD, I was crying and said, God, the seed that I sow out, it produced life in other people, and I believe that you're going to bless this church back because we give out to the world, to those nations, to those people. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to develop a lifestyle of sowing the seed of faith. Every time you give, either time, talent, anointing, money, love, smiling, gentleness, and word of encouragement to people, even a phone call, even a little email, I love you, I miss you. Little email that encourage people. I want to tell you, do it by faith. That you do it as if you do it to Jesus, and He will bless you. You sow it, you will reap. Amen. Now, I want to discuss a few practical questions here before I end this teaching. The first question that I would like to bring up that I believe it is very interesting question is that if we are very poor, should we give money to God? If you can open to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. An incident, a situation in the Bible that Jesus was standing in the temple and his eyes, instead of looking at the beautiful curtain between the holy place and the most holy place, or looking at the beautiful furniture of the temple. Where were his eyes on? He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor, everyone say poor, widow, putting into two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all this out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood. Wow. You understand livelihood means that she, in other words, this is money that she's going to have to eat next meal. This is the money that she had to survive with, that she had. So the Bible says clearly that the poor can give. In fact, God's thoughts are different from our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. Usually as human beings, we measure how much people give by looking at the absolute amount. If somebody gives, for example, $100,000, you say, oh, clap hand, you give so much. But in the eyes of God, He may say, this is so little because you have another $30 million in your bank. But another person may give only $5 out of $7 in the wallet. In the eyes of God, that $5 is much bigger than the $100,000. Because he doesn't look at just only the absolute amount, he looks at your heart, how generous you are. So how do you look at the generosity? You look at how much left you have. You know, when you give, how much left you have, that is how generous you are. Because if you're generous, you give a lot to the point that you have you don't have a lot back reserved for yourself. So God look at the generosity. And even the Bible say in the book of James, if you turn to James chapter 2, verse 5, God mentioned that he chooses the poor of this world to be rich in faith. The Bible says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? So you can see that even Jesus say, I the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So actually, the poor usually come to know God faster than the rich, and they are the one who give. Amen. So if you think you are poor, but I don't think so, because anyone who live in America, no matter how much you feel poor, you are above average compared to the population of the world. There's, in fact, almost can say that there's no poor people in America. You see, almost none, because even the government feed them. They all have food to eat. Everyone has clothes to wear. Amen. So we are not poor. But if we think we are poor, we can still give to God. Amen. And when we give to God, we will take care of our needs. This is important for every believer to make decision. Your Christian life will not fully work until you say like this: I give my life to the Lordship of Jesus, and I want to live my life for his kingdom. I'm going to live my life for the kingdom of God. Look at what the promise here, if you live your life for the kingdom, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 27. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 27. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. You know why people don't want to give to the kingdom of God? Worry. Oh, maybe I don't have enough money. Maybe this money I can do something else. They worry of that they will not have anything to eat, anything to drink. Know about your body. What you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you not of more value than they? Wow. God said that if you live for the kingdom, you give to the kingdom, he will take care of you. That's why at the end in verse 33 he say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? Amen. Okay. Second question that I want to raise is, why do we have to give money to God? Can we give something else? Why God have to be specifically saying that you give finances to me, 10% financial offering? Why not just, I just bring banana from my house to give to church on Sunday? I just bring my old clothing and the rotten shoes to give to the church. Why do I have to give money? Is it interesting? Because God knows about human nature. This is what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24.
No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. you cannot serve both God and money.
Mm. Wow, I like your translation. You cannot serve God or money. Pretty clear. So in other words, God tried to say that one of the idols in humanity is money. If you love money, you will not love God. Period. You cannot love both. So you either make decision to love God or you love money. And as human beings, we have the nature of Adam's, the sinful nature. And what is a sinful nature that is against God? Self-interest, self-pity, greed, is that right? Selfishness. So all this nature still trying to work on the inside of us and try to come back, or even still working as a believer because we have not been washed and cleansed practically or in the experientially in every way yet. We still living in the flesh. So God wants us to overcome that flesh by giving our finances away to God or to the poor or to the church or to the servant of God. It's like almost like you break. You whenever you give money out. For example, I give you example, I give 10% for sure for 20 something years. But one day God spoke to me, give $2,000 to that person. I tell you, my flesh rise up. Hey, I was arguing with God. 10% already done, you know, don't ask for more than this. $2,000 is a lot of money. And then God speak to me. No argument, you give to that person. I a little bit grudgingly pull my checkbook out and write $2,000. This happened about 3 or 4 years ago. I walk to that person and give the check to that person like that and walk back. While I was walking back, I felt right away in my spirit that spirit of selfishness and greed were broken in me. God just used that to break me. You understand what I mean? He wants to break that greed in me, that love of money. Because sometimes you can put a limit on God. Okay, I can give 10%, I'm a good Christian now. But sometimes God may ask you more. And are you willing to break that, to give more? You understand what I mean? So God wants to keep training us more and more to the point that we will love God with all our heart and money is nothing to us anymore. The love of money itself is not evil. But the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So it's a battle. We're fighting with this every single day, not to love money. And one of the antidote or remedy that God is using to heal us about loving money is giving. Mm-hmm. Amen. So if God speaks to you about giving something to somebody, don't resist God. Do it. God's going to pay back to you anyway. He just wants to test your heart. He wants to break that spirit in you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God encourages us this. If you give by faith, faithfully, if God commands you to give, you do it, you obey Him. Whatever you give, it will not go in vain. It will be stored up in heaven. And you are going to have rewards in heaven. The money that you put in any institution in the world is going to be gone one day. Stock market, up and down. Company comes and go. Is that right? A few hundred years later, maybe we have another company that replaces. Big company in Seattle here. You know, things come and go, but the only kingdom and only institution that will last forever is the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So the money that you invest into the kingdom of God will not only keep coming back to you because of the principle of sowing and reaping. I sow today for next year. I sow last Sunday for 5 months from now. It will come back. And not only that, I store up treasure in heaven as well that no one can steal from me. Amen.
Amen.
Let's say at the same time, I
will never
outgive God.
Out-give God.
Amen. And God going to test your obedience about this issue sometime. Amen. Last question. Should we give the tithe? This is a good one. Before or after tax? Before or after expenses of our company? Tithe is a 10% of what you take home. Or what you earn, not to take home. What you earn. So the expenses in your work, in your company, is the overhead. That is not your income. But when the check cut to you as your income, that whole check is considered your income. That whole paycheck. So, if you are faithful to God, what I believe is this, that 10% is from gross income, not from net income. Because those, in fact, the taxes you pay, like Social Security, all this thing, is also for your benefit in the future. When you get older, you get money back from Social Security. And part of that, those tax, in fact, come back to you for the road, for the, you know, a lot of things that you are using in the city right now is your tax. So in fact, you are paying those tax for yourself. It's not paying tax for somebody else alone. You are reaping the benefit of the taxes, the protection of the country, the road, the electricity, whatever, the school, you know, your kid go to school free. That is your tax. But it's not actually free. You pay tax on it already. So you need to understand that you need to pay out of your gross income. That's my belief, and I don't force you to do it. It's up to you, between you and God. But I myself have been paying 10% of the gross income all this many years, more than 19 years that I have been paying tithe from the gross income, and I have not been poorer or lacking anything. God still give back to me what I need every day. God still take care of me every single day. Actually, I share this testimony to one of my friends that last Friday I was seeing a few patients, and while I was talking to a patient, I just was so thankful to God in my heart all the time that, God, you are so good to me. You really are God. You are God. You are not a man who lies. You keeps your promise. Because out of these patients that came to me, many of them has gone to see 2 or 3 surgeons already. Mm-hmm. And those surgeons are capable, very good surgeons, and gave them right answer and gave them right recommendations. But for some reason, some way, somehow, they end up with me. They picked me, the third surgeon, and wanted to be operated by me, which means my income. And not that I'm better than those surgeons, but I believe God keeps his promises because I am a tither, because I'm a giver. I serve God. I give my life day and night. Wake up 6 a.m., think about the kingdom. Before I go to bed, still the kingdom. I think about the kingdom all day, all night. Think about the church, about his people. I just live my whole life for God. No personal benefit. Never get any money from the church. All this, how many years now? 18 years in this church. I only give. And God pay me back by putting money in my hand. Those surgeons cannot compete with me because I have a big God. Because I'm a giver. How can you compete a giver? Because God is going to have to keep his promise. He never lies. The Bible says he is not a man who lies. Is that right? So he keeps his promise. I want to encourage you. Try God. be a generous giver. Become like God. Our God is a generous God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will really work in your heart and help you to have faith in the area of lifestyle of giving. And you're going to see the miracles of provision from God. You're going to see the miracles of healing. You're going to see the miracle that God is going to take care of your kids. He's going to set your children free. You remember God said this? If you love God with all your heart, He will bless you to the thousands of generations. Remember this. It will not be only for you, the blessing, but it will go on to the thousands of generations. Amen. So, I and Pastor Da love you very much. Our heart is to see you grow, to become more and more like Christ. We want to see the Word of God and the Spirit of God work in you, that you will grow from glory to glory, and you will not stay immature, but you will grow up until you become a strong Christian that can become a big tree, that animals and birds will come in and receive the blessing from you. I want you to be a blessing to the nations, to the neighbors, to your friends. I don't want you to be a weak Christian. So I pray that the members in this church and the believers all over the world and anyone who listens to this CD shall be blessed and will grow up in the way of the Lord. Again, I love all of you and I believe the best for your life. I know that God has great things in store for you and He has the best plan for your life. He's a good God. That's why we serve Him. Amen. Should we pray? Yes. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us to be generous like you. You're so generous, Lord, that you does not only give rain and oxygen, but you give your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. You give the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, helper, and comforter. You give your word. You give your angels to protect us. You give the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers to train us. You give us friends in the church to inspire us and rub us and like an iron sharpens iron, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. You are such a generous giver. You are the God of more than enough. You are the God who break the net, the fish, the net that catch the fish. You are the God that sing the boat. You are the God that give and feed 5,000 people with 12 baskets full left over. We trust you, Father. We bless you. Please, Father, bless these people who listen to this CD, Lord. Put your hand upon their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you for listening. I see you next time in the next CD. God bless you.
Trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.